Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is from the end of the Gospel reading today. Jesus says to Nathanael, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is our text. Last Sunday, our snowy Sunday, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Following his baptism, Jesus begins his public ministry, and one of the first things that he does is that he calls and gathers disciples to him. We heard about that today. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We've found him." We found him, him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets spoke and wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What do you think about that, Nathanael? Philip says that they finally found the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for, and it is Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael is sure surprised, real surprised, but not in a good way. Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, from Nazareth? You've got to be kidding me. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Think about it. That's his response to hearing that all of God's promises are being fulfilled in Jesus. Not exactly a ringing endorsement, is it? In fact, you can feel underneath the cynicism, the skepticism, the negativity that Nathanael has toward Jesus. I mean, his mind starts racing. Surely Philip is mistaken. Because it just doesn't make any sense. It cannot be. He doesn't trust what his friend tells him. And he thinks he knows better. As if Nathanael were to say, "Philip, I'm so sorry to burst your bubble, but you're really off your rocker this time. The Messiah cannot be from insignificant, nothing Nazareth. Everyone knows that. God wouldn't work that way. He wouldn't work the Nazareth way. That's beneath him." Because you know, Nathanael has got God all figured out. He's got God pegged. And his God will have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Nazareth. With a response like that, we might want to say and wonder if anything good can come out of Nathanael. But Nathanael's not alone. At times, we could be his twin, quick to doubt, quick to second guess, quick to distrust, quick to go negative. For some of us, that's how we naturally interact with other people, even those closest to us. We start with questions meant to pick apart what's been said, comments meant to show how much we know. Maybe we're not mean about it. Maybe we don't intend to be spiteful. But it's just that I know best. Things should be done my way. At least I need to get my 2 cents in to assert my questions and raise my concerns to make sure that I'm heard. Because what I think and have to say is clearly more important than what others think and have to say. Of course, we would never say that. But often that's what we communicate. But it goes even deeper than that. We even think that we've got God figured out. We think we know how he should work, what he should want, what we ought to expect from him. And if something goes wrong with what we expect from God, if there's a death or an illness or a crisis of some kind, then something's got to be off, and it's got to be off with God. He's the one to blame. Why, the God I know, he wouldn't work that way. He wouldn't let that happen. He wouldn't tell us not to do that. So God is only allowed to work in ways that make sense to me. Interesting. Of course that's the case, because I know what's best. I've got a certain view of how God should be, and I'll make him conform to it. That's our fallen, our stunted imagination at work, imagining a God for myself, a God who suits me, who measures up to my reason and desires, a God who certainly couldn't come out of Nazareth. I would say this is also the air that we breathe and the water we swim in. It's a little bit of the consumer culture at work in religion. We, and I mean we collectively, not just as a church, but as a society, we treat God like a fast food item. I'll have him my way. To such doubts and distrust, yours, Nathaniel's, the world's, Philip says the only thing he can: come and see. Come and see this Jesus of Nazareth. It's such a simple invitation and so beautiful. Like Nathaniel, we've often created a God to suit ourselves. We've made a God in our own image. But Philip invites us to see God as he really and truly is. And his words are just that, an invitation. Not an argument, not an explanation. He doesn't offer a slam dunk philosophical proof, only the words, come and see. It's an invitation for us to see this Jesus at work. And it's also a way for us to invite others. I know sometimes we're hesitant to share our faith with others. What if they ask me a question that I don't have the answer to? What if I stumble over my words? What if I don't know what to say? You know, sometimes the best witness is just to let Jesus speak for himself, to let him be seen and heard. You don't need all the answers. You don't have to have fancy-sounding words. Just be a Philip to some skeptical, negative Nathaniel this week. Invite that friend or that family member to come and see Jesus with you. And when you say that, where will you bring them? You'll bring them here. Because this is where we come and see Jesus, in his holy word and his holy sacrament. And the amazing thing is that even after blowing off Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael accepts the invitation. Why not come and see? It can't hurt. And so here comes Nathanael, and Jesus sees him coming toward him and says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." An upright Israelite. And Nathanael overhears it and says, "How do you know me?" Without any exchange of greetings, without any introduction, never having met before, Jesus knows Nathanael. And Nathanael knows it. Jesus knows Nathanael's hopes for the Messiah. He knows what Nathanael thinks of Nazareth. As Jesus explains, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." When it was just Nathanael and the fig tree, Jesus sees him. That fig tree is interesting. We might wonder, what does the fig tree have to do with anything? Well, in the Old Testament, there are statements about how when the people are at peace, dwelling in God's kingdom the way God would have it, that each man will live under his own vine and under his own fig tree. They will study the scriptures, the Torah, there. Or perhaps we can go in another direction. Was Nathanael, like Adam and Eve, sewing together the fig leaves to cover himself? Either way, Jesus knows. He knows Nathanael. He doesn't need binoculars or satellite pictures or hidden cameras. Who is it that can see all things? Who is it that knows someone inside and out, top to bottom? Only God sees like that. So here's this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who is a true man. He looks like a man, looks like you and me, but he sees like God. As the psalmist says of him, O Lord, you have searched me, and you have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. I wonder if Nathanael had that psalm in mind when Jesus revealed that he knew him like that. Jesus sees all and he knows all, which means that something good can and has come out of Nazareth. God has come out of Nazareth. God for Nathanael and God for you and me. And now his eyes are open. You, Jesus, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What do we learn from Nathanael? Two things I'd like to highlight. The first one is that we don't know and make sense out of God by our own reason and strength, but rather God is the one who knows us and makes sense out of us. Nathanael thought he had it all figured out. God couldn't come from Nazareth until God did come from Nazareth. The God who knew Nathanael better than he knew himself. He discerns my thoughts. He searches out all my ways. He sees me wherever I am, under the fig tree, studying his word or sewing together the fig leaves, at the kitchen table, in my study. Even before a word is on my tongue, the Lord knows it altogether. I can't escape him. And why would I want to? I can't control him. And why would I want to? And neither can you. You know, a person can run from church, and there are people who do that. A person can avoid other Christians, and there are people who do that as well. But no one can hide from God. Secondly, it's not up to us to decide how God can or cannot be. It is not up to us to decide what is appropriate or not appropriate for God. I don't have him figured out. The only thing for me is to receive him as he makes himself known to me. To know God intimately, inside and out, all about him, to have him figured out, that is too high for me, too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. I can't cut God down to size. I can't force his word into a shape that suits me. I can only receive him as he is. And yet God does make himself known to us. He makes himself known to us so that he can be seen and heard and received and believed and loved and known. He comes in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. And he comes for you. But that's hardly the end of the story. Nathanael witnessed a great thing in the revelation of Jesus' divine knowledge and his person, and yet Jesus says to him, "Do you believe? Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these." And then he goes on. Do you remember from Scripture the story of Jacob's dream from Genesis? With the ladder that extends from earth up into heaven, the angels are going up and down this ladder. Do you remember that account? Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The good news isn't just that God knows Nathanael or me or you. If all God knew of us were our doubts and our distrust, our skepticism and our false gods, what good would that be? The good news is that in the face of such sinful skepticism and cynicism, Jesus Christ has opened heaven to us. The one who knows us, who knows all of our dirt and all of our secrets, and yet he offers himself as the ladder between heaven and earth. What greater things will Nathanael see? He He will see Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, on his throne, crucified for us and for our salvation. He will see, through the death of Jesus Christ, heaven itself opened to him. He will see the one who had no deceit in his mouth, who was true in all that he said and did in giving himself for us. Truly, it is a greater thing to see that God has died for me, that he has done this willingly and freely for me, a sinner, and to see and hear and taste that forgiveness, that life and salvation that Jesus won on the cross, delivered to me here and now. Last week, we heard about the baptism of Jesus. Again, the words, "the heavens were opened," appeared, the heavens being torn open, the Father saying of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son." Heaven is open, and heaven remains open. And God speaks to each and every one of us as though we are his beloved ones, because we are baptized into Christ Jesus. All your sins washed away, washed onto Jesus through baptism, and you are clean. Indeed, you are more than clean. St. Paul tells us you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body, the body that he created and the body that he redeemed and has given to you for life in this world. And you're told that the angels of God ascend and descend on the Son of Man, because the God who was in heaven is now the God who dwells on earth in Jesus Christ. When have we seen the angels come down? But at the announcement of Jesus' birth, when God is in the manger. When have we seen the angels come down? But at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the tomb is empty, to tell the witnesses that he is not there because he is risen, just as he said. Where are the angels? But here today, to offer their worship and praise to the flesh and blood God who dwells in our midst, the God who is on the altar, who is here by his own word and promises, Jesus Christ, not just part of him, but all of him. "This is my body, this is my blood." And we take him at his word. All of heaven open to us, all of heaven joined with us in bowing before Jesus, in singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Dear friends, it's here, here and now, that we see the greater things promised by Jesus to Nathanael. What do you see? You see your sins washed away, taken away, forgiven. You see life and salvation placed into your very mouth. These holy and precious gifts, with your holy and precious Jesus giving you his holiness today. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of water or bread or wine or words spoken from a pulpit? Indeed, they can. Jesus, the Messiah, can and does come. And you have come. And now you see. Truly, Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. He is your Savior. In his name, amen.